This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
So I have a question. What would you do if someone walked up to you right now and handed you $1 million? Have you ever thought about that? Seriously, have you ever thought? Man, Scott, if I had $1 million, I would what? What would you do? I mean, have you ever had one of those conversations with someone? Man, if I had $1 million right now, I'll tell you what I would do. I know I have. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. If someone handed me $1 million right now, okay, for one, I would definitely upgrade my car. Yeah, because if you've seen my car, you'll understand why. That's right, I would upgrade my 92 Honda to at least a 99. You think I'm joking. You know what else I would do if someone handed me $1 million right now? I'd go out and I'd buy a Starbucks card that would last for at least 10 years. The only problem is I'm not sure $1 million would cover 10 years for me. But anyway, how about my family? Because you got to take care of the family, right? You know what else? If I had $1 million, of course, one thing I would do is I would make sure that all my kids had a paid college education. You know what else I would do? I would take my wife on like the ultimate vacation. Oh yeah, I'm not talking like, you know, Howard Johnson's in Rockford. No. I'm talking like, you know, like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Like, you know those little huts you can get right on the ocean, like in Tahiti or something? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't that look nice right now? Oh, yeah. I mean, you get your own private butler and gourmet food and totally secluded, warm. Ooh, warm. That sounds pretty good right about now, doesn't it? There's a lot of things I could do with $1 million. You know what else I would do? I'd pay my mom's house off. That's a nice thing, is I'd pay my mom's house off. Oh, and my neighbor, because you know what? You got to take care of your neighbors, don't you? That's biblical, right? You got to take care of your neighbors. You know what I would do? If I got $1 million right now, I would go out and I would buy my neighbor a brand new snowblower. That way, he could do a little better job on my driveway. I'm just kidding. But you know, there's a lot of things that a person could do, obviously, with $1 million. And I'm sure you've asked yourself that question before, right? What would I do if I had $1 million? And chances are you have found yourself saying things like, you know what, if I had $1 million, I'd pay off my kid's college loan, right? Or I'd finally buy that dream house that I've always wanted. Or maybe it's something like this. Okay, if I had $1 million, I would finally get out of debt. Or how about this? Maybe it's along the lines of social help around the world. You know, if I had $1 million, Scott, I would really get serious about feeding the hungry. Or Scott, if I had $1 million, you know what? I'd finally start giving to my church. Oh, Scott, listen, if I had $1 million, listen, I would be so generous. Oh man, Scott, listen, if I had $1 million. Listen, you would not meet anyone more generous than me. I would be the most generous person in the entire world, which is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, in fact, chances are, if you're like most people I know, if you ran into $1 million today, sure, you'd take care of maybe, you know, some of your own things, your own needs, hopefully invest a little bit, but chances are you'd also imagine yourself being very, very generous, wouldn't you? Sure, and in fact, I think probably most of us would imagine ourselves being very generous if we ran into $1 million today, wouldn't we? Because see, for one, I think that probably most of us like to think of ourselves as being generous people, don't we? I mean, I can't imagine even anyone in this room who would say, you know what, I'm not generous, I have no interest in being generous. I mean, chances are every one of us would like to imagine ourselves being generous, which is a great thing. And see, part of the reason I think this is such a good thing, especially for those of us who are followers of God, is because we recognize that this God that we follow has been so generous to us, hasn't he? So generous. In fact, the scriptures, they remind us of this over and over again. In fact, I'll show you a couple. One is in Psalm chapter 100, the first part of this verse. Psalm 100, verse 5, the psalmist declares this, and it's such a wonderful, beautiful scripture about God's generosity. It says these words, "For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love." And of course, what he's talking about here is a God who demonstrated the ultimate act of generosity. I mean, if you think about this, God sending his son Jesus into this world to become the savior of mankind. I mean, there's no doubt that God is generous. And in fact, the word generous is almost, it's probably an understatement when talking about God, isn't it? But I'll tell you, you know what's really amazing about this? Is that God doesn't just show us generosity, but he also desires that every single one of us as human beings experience that generosity firsthand. Did you know that? That God wants every one of us to experience his generosity in our lives. And so what happens is he shows us that generosity, but he also wants us to experience that generosity. But you know what else he does? He also wants us to reflect that generosity. I mean, he wants us to experience that generosity, but man, he wants us to reflect that generosity in our own lives. In fact, there's a scripture that I want to point you to found in Ephesians chapter 5, and the Apostle Paul talks, I think, about this whole idea of reflecting God in our lives. Let me show you the scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says this: "Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents." Some of you are like, "Huh, not my kids." But it goes on to say, "Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us." Listen to this. This is powerful. It says, "His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us." And then I love this last little sentence, "Love like that." Man, I just love how this is written. Watch what God does, and then you do it. I mean, it's just said so simply, isn't it? I mean, just so simple. He says, mostly what God does is love you. Not in some, like, cautious, stingy, greedy way, but in a generous, extravagant way. And then he says, that's how you should love. I mean, that's how you should live. And see, that's why as we learn to live with this extravagant generosity in our lives, it's why we become more and more aware of how significant and purposeful our lives really are. I mean, just think about that. The fact that you and I were created and have been given the opportunity to reflect this generous God, I mean, I'll tell you what, that's where significant living is found. So, you and I were created to reflect this extravagantly generous God. And you know what's so awesome about that? It is that in the process of reflecting this extravagant generosity, listen, not only does it reflect God, but it also makes a difference in people's lives. That's right, when you and I are generous, when you and I reach out to someone in need, it makes a difference in their lives, which is a great thing. But you know what else it does? It also impacts your life. That's right, not only does being generous impact other people's lives, but it also impacts your life in so many ways. Let me show you a couple scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 11, there's a couple passages here that show this to us. Proverbs 11, the first one is verse 17. It says this: "The merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, for his deeds return to bless him." And then in verse 24, it says this: "The world of the generous gets," what? Say it, what? Ready? "Larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." And then the next verse, 25, says this: "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, those who help others are helped. In other words, look, the more generous I am, and the more that I give away of myself, the more God says I will have. Now tell me that doesn't make you scratch your head a little bit, huh? I mean, seriously, because this totally goes against what really makes sense, right? I mean, wouldn't you think it'd be just the opposite of that? Like, okay, the more that I save and the more that I hold on to and the more that I keep for myself, the more I'm going to have, right? But see, no, God says the more I give and the more generous I am, the more I will have in my life. I mean, that's just what happens when you live a life of generosity. Now, I know that if you're anything like me, you know, when you hear scriptures like these, and when you start thinking about the kind of life that and the kind of difference really you can make in other people's lives in this world by living generously, it excites us, doesn't it? I mean, it's an exciting thing. It sounds so good to us. And yet, if you're anything like me, as exciting as that sounds, and you know what, as much as we know that there's no better way to live than this life of generosity, and even as generous as we might even think we are, and chances are, if we're really honest about it, most of us, including me, would discover that there's still a gap. A gap between how generous we wish we were and how generous we really are. There's a gap. And of course, that gap is different for everyone in this room. I mean, for some of us, I mean, there may be some of you sitting here today who might be thinking, Scott, okay, you have no idea about my life because gap does not even begin to describe it, okay? I'm about as far from generous as anyone you might know. I'd never like to admit that, but man, this whole generosity thing is really new for me. And perhaps, maybe for some of you, the way you were raised, maybe the way you were taught about things like money and your stuff and your life and your things and all of that, maybe because of how you were raised or the example or just how you've always thought about these things, but maybe you've just been finding yourself living a life that's not even remotely generous. And perhaps, you know, if we were to pull out a scale and say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being like you're the most stingy person in the world, and 10 being like you are as generous as God, maybe you'd say, well, you know what, Scott, if I'm honest about it, I'm maybe a 1 or a 2. Or perhaps there's others of us, and in fact, I know there are others of us in this room who would say, you know what, I wouldn't say I'm a 1 or 2 by any means. I would say I'm at least, you know, a 2.5. No, I would say I'm at least a 4. Or you know what, Scott, I'm pretty generous. I mean, I would say that I'm up there a little bit. I would say I'm probably about maybe, I don't know, a 7 or 8. But see, here's the thing. No matter where you might place yourself on that whole generosity spectrum, I think the right question for us to ask this morning is, how do I go to that next level of generosity in my life? I mean, how do I live in such a way that I'm constantly moving closer and closer to that 10 level of generosity? Now, of course, I don't think any of us are going to go from being like a 2 to a 10 overnight, right? I mean, I think that's just unrealistic. I mean, chances are we're going to go from being maybe a 2 to a 3, right? Or a 4 to a 5, or maybe a 7 to an 8, and then hopefully over time, you begin finding yourself moving closer and closer to this extravagant generosity. And as a result, what happens is this gap between where you are now and where you wish you could be begins getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So the question is, how? I mean, how do we do this? How do we live out this generosity? How do we grow in this generosity in our lives? I mean, what do I do when I walk out of here and I hit my home or hit my job the next day? I mean, what does this look like in my life? Well, there are two stories that I want to share with you that from the scriptures that I think will journey us to some of the answers to these questions. And if you have your Bibles, in fact, let's go to the book of Mark. It's the second book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the second book in the New Testament, Mark. And both of these stories are found there, and they're both just very intriguing. You'll see why in a second. The first story takes place in a Jewish temple. And in Mark chapter 12, just sort of set the scene for you here. We're told that Jesus is in the temple. In fact, let me just read it to you. Watch this. You can look on the screens if you want. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Now, is it just me, or does that seem kind of odd to you? Think about that. I mean, can you just imagine that? Jesus sitting there watching you give? Actually, that's not a bad idea. I'm just kidding. No, but can you imagine, like, this morning, instead of our welcome teams walking down the aisle, can you imagine if it was, like, Jesus himself walking around? So some of you, he'd probably start, like, poking you with it. Like, hey, come on, man, it's been, like, 2 weeks. I remember, okay? No, but can you imagine that? Jesus? I have a feeling, like, we'd have, like, our largest giving weekend ever here at the Orchard if that happened. Okay, so anyway, let's keep reading. Mark 12, 41. Look at this. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. And listen to this. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Now, let me just pause here for a second. These 2 coins that this widow puts in here are what's known as lepton. I know you want to say it, so go ahead. Lepton. Lepton. Sounds like something out of Star Trek, doesn't it? Lepton, which at the time were the 2 least valuable coins that you could have. So I guess, like, today it would be like giving 2 pennies, right? And so anyway, this poor widow shows up and she drops in 2 small coins, and then look what happens, verse 43. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. And so what Jesus was saying here was, look, you've got these rich people who are dropping in large amounts of money, and they're doing it they're very proud that they're doing this in a way that everybody can see. Okay, and then you've got this poor old widow who gives a very small amount of money, but hers is actually greater than everyone else's because she truly gave generously. That's quite a story, isn't it? Now, let's go to the next one, Mark chapter 6. This is a great story. Mark chapter 6, to set the scene here, okay? Here's what's happened. Jesus is basically out in the middle of nowhere. What happened was Jesus was doing a lot of ministry, a lot of teaching, and he needed a break, so he decided to go away. Well, unfortunately, the crowds followed him. And so here he is, like in the middle of nowhere, teaching a huge crowd of people. In fact, when I say huge crowd of people, the scriptures tell us that there were 5,000 men, plus women and children. Okay, that is a big crowd of people, okay? So here Jesus is teaching this crowd of people out in the middle of nowhere. It's getting late. People are getting hungry. The babies are starting to wig out a little bit, and probably the men too, you know, because we do that. And unfortunately, there was, you know, Panera Bread had not yet opened up a location here. So his disciples, they see what happened. They see what's happening, and they approach Jesus, and here's what they say. Verse 35 of Mark 6, it says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's getting late, already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. Well, hey, that sounds like a pretty sensible thing to do, doesn't it? But no, not to Jesus, because Jesus has another idea. Look at what he says, verse 37. Jesus said, you feed them. Now, I just got to tell you, this is one of those occasions that I really wish I could have been there. I mean, I would have loved to have seen, like, the look on their faces when he said, you feed them. As a matter of fact, you know, I hope that one day in heaven, there's, like, this monster TiVo. And we can watch all the famous scenes from the Bible, right? Because, you know, the movies, you know, most of them stink. They just don't do a great job. You know, I mean, I want to see it. High definition, 3D, surround sound. Anyway, okay, that's called ADD. Okay, let's move on. But you can almost picture this, can't you? I mean, these guys, you know, disciples come up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, look, Jesus, we know you already know this because you're Jesus, but just so you know, again, there are like 5,000 men and women and children who are getting hungry. And it's getting hectic. It's getting crazy. So we know everything you're saying is really good, but there's going to be a book version coming out down the road. So if there's any way that we could just kind of wrap this up so they could go eat before it gets late, what do you say, Jesus? You feed them. Oh, you're not smiling. I know that look. I know that look. Jesus, we don't like it when you do this. Oh, boy. And so what do these faithful men of God do? Well, they look at Jesus and they say, what are you talking about, Willis? What are you, Jesus, come on. Look at verse 37. They said, with what? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. And so what does Jesus say? You know, you're right. I didn't even think about that. You know, that is a great point, guys. You know what? You know, you guys should be teaching me. Really, you guys are so smart. You know, okay, you're right. Listen, everybody home. No. What does Jesus say? Look at this, verse 38. How much bread do you have, he asked. Go and find out. And it says they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, let me pause again here in the story, because here's the deal. Mark's account that we just read, the book of Mark, does not mention this. But in John's account, a couple books over, John's account, we're told that these 5 loaves of bread and these couple fish came from a little boy, little kid. And so what you have here is this little kid who hands over his lunch to the disciples, and the disciples take it to Jesus. And basically, to make a long story short, you can read the rest of the story later, but Jesus ends up miraculously multiplying this food. And the scriptures tell us that everybody ate until they were satisfied. And then not only that, but when it was all said and done, there were actually 12 baskets of food left over. I mean, what a miraculous story, isn't it? I mean, amazing story. 5,000 plus people fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But you know, there's a part of this story that I think oftentimes gets overlooked. And it's the part about this little boy. I mean, think about this little boy for a second. Okay, here's this kid. You know, who knows where he's coming from? Maybe he was out walking home or whatever. And here's this kid, you know, just minding his own business, you know, like carrying around his little David and Goliath lunchbox. You know what I'm saying? And he's just kind of just having a nice day. And he's got his little fish sticks in there, you know, and some bread. And mom packed him a lunch maybe, or maybe he was out fishing or whatever. And all of a sudden, and I'm not sure how all this went down, but I highly doubt, you know, that the disciples, like, pulled a Tony Soprano on him. You know, like give me the lunch or, you know, or else. No. Chances are this kid is just minding his own business, and the disciples start asking around. Excuse us, everyone. Does anyone have some bread? Jesus needs some bread. Anybody have some bread? Would you please raise your hand if you have some bread? Anyone? Anyone? And I can just imagine like this little boy sitting there, you know, and he's hearing this, and he's kind of clutching on to his lunchbox, hoping that someone else will speak up. Because, you know, here's the thing. I find it hard to believe that out of that many people, this kid was the only one with some food. Give me a break. I mean, seriously. Anyway, but what happens? Well, no one else stands up and says anything. So this little boy stands up and says, you can have mine. And he gave it. Not just half of it. Not just a piece of it. No. He gave everything he had. Everything. And because of that single act of generosity, thousands and thousands of people were fed. Man, two pretty amazing stories, aren't they? I mean, so much that we could learn from these stories. But you know what really stuck out to me this week as I was reading these stories? What really seems interesting to me is how when it came time for Jesus to teach us about generosity, it wasn't the wealthy that he pointed to teach us and to show us what generosity looked like. And it wasn't the religious leaders that he pointed to either, to show us what generosity looks like. No, and you know what? And if you think about it, it wasn't even just the average everyday person. No. He uses a poor old widow, and he uses a little kid. And I don't know about you, but that seems pretty intentional to me. You know what it's like? It's almost like God wants us to know that generosity is not just something that's reserved for the wealthy or for those who have a surplus or for those who are comfortable. No. See, perhaps what God is showing us is that one of the ways that we can close that gap, one of the ways that we can go to that next level of generosity in our lives is by remembering that anybody can be generous. Anybody can be generous. In fact, if you have your service guide, would you take that out for a second? I want you to write a couple things down. Because my hope is that we would take what we've heard here and we would begin thinking about it, that we would wrestle with it a little bit, that eventually what would happen is that this would actually change the way we think and the way we live. But the first thing I want you to write down is this phrase, anybody can be generous. And see, here's the thing. I think the reason why this is so important for us to remember is because I think sometimes we have this tendency in our lives to see generosity as, well, yes, something that's good, something that is important, but something that may not be for me, at least right now, at the stage of life that I'm in. I mean, think about this. You know, as teenagers, you know, we start thinking, man, once I get a job, then I'll be generous. Or we think, man, when I become an adult, then I'll be generous. Once I have a job or once I have a career, then I'll be generous. And then what happens? Well, then we become adults, right? And then we say, okay, well, you know, we might be having kids soon. We can't afford to be generous. So maybe once our kids leave the house, then we can be generous. And then what we say then is we start saying, you know, maybe when I retire, then I'll be generous. And here's the thing, then one day we're retired and eventually we come to this realization that we have lived an entire life and have missed out on opportunity after opportunity to be generous. And not only that, but I think what's even more detrimental is the fact that we missed out on some incredible opportunities to reflect our Creator to those around us. And we missed out on experiencing that joy and that satisfaction and that feeling of significance that comes into our lives when we begin to live this life of generosity. And you know, none of us want that, do we? I mean, none of us want to find ourselves in that place at the end of our lives. And so perhaps the first thing we need to remind ourselves of today is that, you know, if a little boy and if a little, you know, poor old widow who hardly had anything to give can live generously, so can I, so can you. Anybody can be generous. Would you say that with me this morning? Anybody can be generous. Now make it personal. Say, I can be generous. Ready? I can be generous. Now, the second thing that I think is pretty evident in these stories, and I think this is just, you know, it's probably real, very obvious, but I think another thing we can see here in these stories is how easy it would have been for this poor widow and this little boy to say no to generosity. I mean, think about that. Can you imagine how easy it would have been for them to say no? I mean, imagine this poor old widow. She's standing in line, getting ready to give. And she's feeling those two little coins in the palm of her hand, right? She's probably sweating. She's a little bit nervous, and she doesn't quite know. Like, man, I mean, she's looking at these wealthy people walking by, and they're flaunting their big checks or whatever they have, you know, and their big lepton, I don't know. Anyway, and so, I mean, and how easy would it have been for her to look at that and say, you know what? This isn't enough. I mean, I hardly have anything. I mean, and besides, Jesus is sitting right there. What's he going to think of me? I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, actually. I mean, maybe I should just keep it. I mean, after all, I could at least buy myself, you know, like a piece of bread or something. And besides, they probably don't need my money because, man, I saw, man, the chariots that were sitting outside this place looked amazing. Man, there's some wealthy people in this place. They don't need my money. Okay, and then you've got the boy, right? Standing there. You want what? You want my lunch? You don't understand. Look, I have low blood sugar, okay? My mom will kill me. And listen, do you have any idea how long it took me to catch those fish? Man, I spent like 3 hours, and all I got were these two fish. And besides, look, I know you're older than me, and you're bigger than me and everything, but look, there's no way that just what I have here is going to make a difference for all these people. But you know what? One day, when I become a professional fisherman, one day when I get my own boat, then I might be able to help you. One day when I learn how to fish and I can really catch a lot, then one day maybe I can help. Do you realize how easy it would have been for both of them to say no to generosity? But instead, they looked at what they had. And even though it wasn't much, they gave generously. Not a lot in terms of amount, but yet they gave generously, which means that generosity isn't necessarily about how much I give. I mean, as a matter of fact, generosity is about so much more than just giving money, isn't it? You know, generosity is about so much more than that. I mean, for one, it's not about how much or how little. Really, it's about my attitude. It's about my heart. It's about my willingness. And so on your card, the second thing I want you to write down is this. It's very simple. Generosity begins now. Generosity begins now. It begins now. See, because here's what I think tends to happen, okay? And we've all experienced this, haven't we? It's like there's that little voice in our lives, you know? Kind of like the banker, right, in Deal or No Deal. By the way, wasn't that banker pretty cool, huh? I bet you're wondering who that was, aren't you? You will never know. But it's kind of like the banker in Deal or No Deal, right? Who's constantly trying to get us to settle, right? Trying to get us to settle and make a deal with him. Constantly trying to get us to be more reasonable. You know what I'm saying? That voice of reason. Generous? You can't be generous. Are you kidding me? Hey, man, have you looked at what's going on with the stock market lately? Come on. I mean, you want to be generous, and I mean, you have no idea what the future might hold. I mean, look, yeah, don't take the risk with being generous. And then you know what happens? You know how it begins to translate into our lives when we find ourselves saying, well, if I just had $1 million, well, then I could be. Or if I just had this, then I could. Or if I just had a better job, or if I just knew things were more certain, if the economy was just more stable, then I could be generous. But yet, Jesus tells us something different. And he says, look, generosity is not about something you engage in once you've reached a certain income level or certain position in your job or certain title or certain comfort level. No, Jesus says that generosity begins now, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. It begins now. See, that's why we need to remember, like I said a minute ago, that generosity is so much more than just giving of money. Do you realize that? It's also about being generous in other areas of our lives. I mean, think about this. Areas like our time. I mean, are you generous with your time? Am I being generous with the time that I have? You know, or even things like talent. How about my talent, the things I'm good at? Am I being generous? Or maybe for some it is treasure. But see, those are three things that every one of us have been given. Time, talent, treasure, time. We've all been given equal amounts of time, haven't we? We've all been given the same amount of time. Talent, treasure. We all have been given talent. We've all been given treasure. And God says now is the time to be generous with those areas in our lives. So, anybody can be generous. And being generous begins when? Now. Now, there's one more thing that I think is absolutely essential if we're going to successfully work at closing that gap in our lives, and that is this. It's remembering, I think, that generosity is not just about something we do once or twice a year, or even, you know, once a week for that matter, and then something we check off, you know, on our list of good things to do for the week. No, listen, true generosity is a way of life. So would you write this down? Generosity is not an event. It is a way of life. It's a way of life. And see, here's the thing. When generosity becomes a way of life for us, in fact, if you're wondering, is generosity a way of life for me? Here's one question you can ask yourself. Do I feel a sense of joy when I give? Or do I hate giving? Or do I really struggle with giving? Do I frown when I put that giving in the giving bag when it goes by me? Do I frown when I have to give up my time to this organization or this need over here? What is my attitude when I give? Because here's the thing. When generosity becomes a way of life for you, it becomes a joyful event in your life. It becomes a joyful, and that's why the scriptures tell us that God loves a cheerful giver. Because look, when you give cheerfully, that's a pretty good sign that this has become a way of life for you. I mean, when you start moving away from that attitude that says, well, I have to give, and you start finding yourself thinking, I get to give. Man, it is a privilege to give. Man, one of the most exciting parts of my day is when I can find ways to give something to someone, whether it's my time, whether it's my talent, whether it's my treasure. Man, it's the most exciting part of my day. I mean, that's how you know, is generosity becoming more and more a part of your life. There's one last scripture I want to look at before we go today, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I think this is one we just have to look at, and one we're going to look at over these next couple of weeks. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says this, teach those who are rich in this world. And I know some of you, when you heard that, you checked out because you thought, well, you know, that's not talking to me because I'm not rich. You know what? I've had the same thought before reading that. In fact, for years, I'd read that verse and go, well, hopefully one day that verse will apply to me. But you want to know something? Think about this, okay? We forget that when God spoke these words, he spoke these words to the entire world, okay? Which means that when you look at the world, you'll realize that you and I are, in fact, very, very rich. In fact, did you know that if you make at least $37,000 a year, that you are in the top 4% of wage earners alive today? You are in the top 4% of the richest people alive today if you make at least $37,000 a year. So you know what that means? That means you can't look at the scripture and go, it's not for me. Mm-mm. No, it's for you. It's for me. Because you and I are indeed rich. And what does it say? Let's keep reading. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. And verse 18 says this, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience, what are the two words right there? True life. True life. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. And I'll tell you that this last line has just been screaming at me all week, and it's this, always being ready to share with others. Always being ready to share with others. always being ready. Would you say that with me? Always being ready. Say it again. Always being ready. I mean, that right there is what a generous life looks like. Always being ready. You know what that looks like? I think it means that I am living with my radar up. And I am sensitive to the needs around me. And my ears are open. And I am listening. And my eyes are looking. And I approach my day with an attitude that says, okay, who can I be generous towards today? As I go into my workplace today, as I go to school today, as I engage in my life today, my radar is up and I am looking for needs. And then when we see those needs, we say, okay, you know what? Am I able to meet that need? God, do you want me to meet that need? Because I'm ready. I'm ready to meet that need. And I'll tell you what, that is generosity. And the result of this kind of life is that last verse that we just read, verse 19, says, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Think about that phrase, true life. See, that is what generosity does for you and me. It gives us the experience of true life. I mean, not just life, not just living, not just existing, but it gives us an experience of significance, of true life. And that life is reflecting our Creator to this world around us. Look, God wants us to go all the way with generosity. And can I tell you something? This is a talk that you know, it was kind of tempting not to give to this church because you guys are so generous. I really mean that. I mean, you guys are so generous. When we present needs to you guys respond. I mean, there's a reason that right now we're in the process of digging water wells in Africa because we said there's a need there, and you guys stepped up at the time of the year that people think about themselves the most. You gave, almost $23,000? Clean water and local needs here in our community? That's generosity. But see, here's what else I know. Is that let's say we're operating right now at a church, as a church at like a level, whatever level, I'm not going to give a number, but whatever level that might be, can you imagine what it might look like if we go to the next level of generosity? And then the next level of generosity, can you imagine what that will do in your life? Can you imagine what that'll do in this community that we live in? Can you imagine what that could do in the lives of people all over this world? That's reflecting God. And that is showing people the love of Jesus. Now, we've got the banker, of course, who wants to make a deal with us, and he wants us to settle, doesn't he? So today, I ask you, will you accept his deal to settle for second best? Or will you, like that little boy and that poor old widow, will you go all the way? Deal or no deal? Let's pray. God, my prayer for us as a church community is that you would help us to go all the way. Which means saying no to that banker in our lives. It means saying no to the deal that voice constantly wants to offer us in our lives. So God, would you give us the courage to live generous lives? God, help us to remember that anybody can be generous, which means I can be generous. God, help us to not forget that generosity begins now. And when we're tempted to look into the future as that being the time to be generous, I pray that you'd remind us that generosity begins right now, whether we have a lot, whether we have a little, it begins now. God, I think my greatest prayer is that you would help us to realize that generosity is not about some event that takes place in our life now and then, but that it is truly a way of life. With the result being, God, that we're reflecting you in this world that you love so much. God, thank you so much for your generosity in our lives. God, thank you so much for loving us. Would you just take a moment, just right where you're seated right now? You know, Ted earlier mentioned, you know, our mission here is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, what that simply means is that no matter where you might find yourself today in that on your spiritual journey, there would be nothing greater that could happen than you making a decision that you want to take that next step in your life. And for some of you, that next step might be that you decide, you know what, I'm going to come back to church again. You know, for others of you, it might be saying, you know what, I've been following Christ for a while, but I've not been living generously. Maybe that next step for you is saying, you know what, God, help me to be more generous. And I'm going to find a way this week to be generous to somebody. But would you just make a decision in your heart, just where you're seated, just saying, God, I want to take that next step. Whatever it looks like, give me the courage to do that. And that is our prayer, God. And today we pray these things and we ask them in your Son's name. Amen.